I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, and welcome back to the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. I wanted to give a huge thank you to everyone that completed the Bose survey for me. It's been great having them as a sponsor, and I'm so happy you supported the partnership and shared your thoughts on the podcast. And the feedback was so positive and loads of really helpful tips for me to go forward with. Priska is back again today, and we are answering your most pressing questions, including, how do I pitch myself as a guest on a podcast? Do you have any tips for launching a natural hair magazine? And is blogging a waste of time? So let's get into it. Hi, Priska. Welcome back.
Hello. Thank you for having me again. It's always fun coming back.
It is.
Just like, this is how I do my like connecting with the community even more. And yeah, 29 days out of the month, I'm working, and then one day I'm here. I'm like, well, 27.
February
is a short ass month. I'm so upset at how short it is.
I
could do with a couple extra bits.
Hey.
Oh man, for me, it's like, what happens is when we're towards the end of the month, it like contracts always are like trying to get signed before the next month so we can start work.
Yeah,
and like now I had like 2 days instead of like five.
Oh, so sweet.
So it's like, but yeah, it's all good.
Speaking of contract, there's nothing to talk about with contracts.
Contracts.
I've just got job interviews on job interviews, so I've got some exciting things potentially coming up, but we can talk about it next month once they've happened and I'm not jinxing them. So as per usual, it's Wednesday, so it's listener questions. So many questions. So the first question comes from a person that wanted to be anonymous, so we're going to go with Marie. Hi, Imri. I'm interested in promoting my blog, and I'd love to be a guest on a podcast like yours and other similar platforms. How should I pitch myself? Do you accept guest pitches? What makes you say yes?
Imri, what makes you say yes?
Honestly, I'm actually really bad at accepting pitches. There is something very, in me personally, this is not true for everyone, where someone pitches themselves to me, that kind of I find slightly off-putting. And I don't know what that is. Maybe it's because it's something that I personally just would not do.
Right.
So I can't relate to like just kind of being so boastful about yourself. Even though by virtue of applying for jobs, that's literally what you're doing. But yeah, I don't know. It's been really rare that I've said yes from an unsolicited pitch. Like when I've put out that I want guest pitches, I'm more inclined to kind of like go through those and actually say, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But if someone who just comes out the blue, I'm just like, I don't know. If you're not on my radar, then why would I?
So here's a tip. I'm going to give you a messed up tip because Imri is here and technically he's supposed to be like quiet. But I guess Imri has, as you know, she has a podcast called The Wannabe. And she has in the past done stuff with people that have releases. So if you've got something you want to promote, but you're not using Imri as like a PR move, but you genuinely feel like that thing that you're doing can bring value to the audience, get somebody else to email her. and promote what you're doing. Do a press release, you know, let her see it. And then that may work.
It does work more so. I tend to accept
picture. For more me so. Personally, I accept pictures from like the agents or managers or whoever's running the publicity for someone.
Yeah.
And if I genuinely feel like it's of value to the listeners, I actually tend to select guests based on the listeners, less so for myself. When I started, it was definitely about who I like and who I'm interested in speaking to. And I guess you guys vibed with it. So now it's
because now you have a community, right? So yeah. It's like they're your peoples. You have to do stuff for them. So,
I definitely chose Prisca and that was a right call.
So. I chose you too.
It was a mutually beneficial thing. But in terms of other platforms, yeah, you can definitely pitch because I know there are other podcast platforms that definitely want guests and don't know how to go about getting them. And sometimes if your story is very interesting, but it is a case of just making sure that what you want to come on and talk about very much aligns with that listener base. And it's that, and I mean, it has to align with them, not because you want them, but because they would be interested in what you have to say and what you have to offer, more so than what you can gain from them being your customers.
I am.
But yeah. Sorry, I don't normally just say yes to unsolicited pitches unless someone else put you forward. Also, just to be completely honest as well, I would say that, you know, you have to have like a good track record of being out and about for me.
Yeah.
So the podcast tends to have high achieving, mostly women, but men are welcome as well. It tends to be high achieving people. They've kind of built up a nice community for themselves. They have kind of a loyal fan base. So those are things that I would also look at as a whole package to make sure that it's going to work for me. But again, have someone else do it, like Prisca said. Anything else you want to add to that? Or
no, I said my piece.
Cool. Second question. Hey ladies, I'm currently working towards starting my own online editorial like Natural Hair Magazine. Okay. My question is, how do you suggest I engage readers? My personal social media platforms aren't super popular and I'm a bit discouraged of launching later this year because of it. Any suggestions or tips from Denisha?
So it's she wants to launch a natural hair platform.
Yeah, I guess like a online magazine that's quite editorial in focus.
I think already I have a couple views on the media, the publishing media industry. It's shifted a lot.
Yeah.
Of course, people are still reading things, but they're reading things that come from renowned publications.
Yeah.
But they're viewing a little bit more. So already you need to think about the way that landscape has changed. You know, what format are people going to pay attention to the most? What's the best way to engage people? And of course, as you can see, it's audio. And video, unless you have some really influential natural hair enthusiasts on your platform that can redirect people to your page. So just because it is hot, it is going to be hard. And I'm not saying it should be easy, but it's going to be so hard. Like I have experience working with magazines that are trying to get themselves off the ground. And the most impressions and clicks came from articles where they had people that already had reach.
Yeah.
So reach out to natural hair people and give them and be honest with them. Be honest, like, I'm starting out and this is the reason why I want to do this. I'm interested in you because boom, 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 boom. And I'd appreciate if I could do an interview with you and it would only take 20 minutes.
Yeah. I would agree with that. You want to start reaching out, definitely get some influencers involved. And yeah, you're right. It's so hard to launch anything brand new, which involves a lot of writing. People just, the attention span has just shifted. And it's not because people like shorter things. It's actually because audio runs quite long.
Yeah.
And video seems to be running even longer now. Yeah. So it's a case of how are people going to engage with that content? Because they want to be quite passive and reading is incredibly active.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one. But I think Prisca has led you in the right direction. Next question.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times. To spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
How Hi, Emery and Preska. Hi.
Hey. She said our name.
Both of us.
What's good?
I love these monthly episodes. Thanks.
Oh, thank you.
I've been thinking about starting a blog, but everyone is telling me it's a waste of time.
I was just speaking about.
Well, so funny you've said that.
Yeah.
I was thinking of using Medium first. Have you used it? Would you recommend it? Thank you in advance. Love the show, Rhea.
So Medium is quite popular amongst technology, marketing, media, people.
Yeah.
So if that's the industry you're going in, Medium is perfect. If you're trying to do fashion, then putting it on Medium will not make sense to that audience. Like I just said, and hopefully you've been listening from the beginning, that blogging has completely changed. I actually haven't said this out loud, and I've had this conversation with my business partner, and the landscape of blogging has changed. If you realize that posting a picture of you outside next to this really amazing aesthetic, wearing items and stuff like that,
yeah,
it doesn't work. It doesn't work, but people don't consume. Yeah, and people don't consume like that anymore. Remember when blogging was popping?
Yep.
And now, like,
that was only like in the last 10 years.
in the last year, blogging has changed.
Yeah,
blogging is not as successful as it used to be, because people realized that I don't need to read a really long blog post. I need to just go to your Instagram. You're going to tag the brand. You're going to write a caption, and you're good.
Yeah.
So. I wouldn't say it's a waste of time. I mean, again, like, you might have something so unique that it works, but just based on what I said, make sure that you're a little bit strategic with it so you can draw people in through other audiences. And maybe do like a shade room format as well. Like run your Instagram like it's a blog.
Yeah.
You know, and because people are happy to read semi-long things on Instagram.
That's true.
Learn how to turn your words into videos. You know, learn that skill. You can use After Effects. You can use Premiere Pro. Final Cut Pro, I don't really recommend, but you can use that nonetheless. It has text and video. And then you can do your blogs in that format.
Yeah.
So try and diversify the way in which you are promoting the information you're going to do on this blog. But I don't think putting information out there is a waste of time.
No, I agree with that. And I do agree with the Instagram thing, because I actually post up and will sit on someone's Instagram page reading captions forever. I have read whole essays and I'm like, why have I done this?
Yeah.
Half the time I get to the bottom, like, this was not worth my time, but thank you anyway.
This is a blog post. But then when you think about it, it's like Instagram is something you do for other things.
Yeah.
Whereas with blog posts, you have to go to that specific website. And then once you go to that specific website, you have to come off of it, or you have to explore the website. It's long.
Yeah.
Whereas with Instagram, you can read someone's post and you know that you can just go straight to the search bar and find Beyonce.
Yeah. What I do, the only downside to that is that you don't own Instagram.
Yeah.
So there has been that running joke, especially in the last couple of weeks, for sure. Like, what would you still have a business if Instagram changes the algorithm or shuts down tomorrow? It's probably not going to shut down. I'll just change the algorithm on you. And I think it is worth definitely having your own property, so owning website. Definitely. Real estate.
You know what, thank you for that, because I didn't think of that. And yeah, I agree.
Have it there and make sure that, like, even if it's just kind of double posting, because I don't think like Instagram posting is going to mess up your SEO personally. It's just not, it just doesn't work like that, but for now it doesn't anyway. But making sure that you also have like a space that you can call your own and you can redirect people to, or you'll get really good at copywriting and writing headlines that can say, and the link's now in my bio if you want to find the rest of this story.
Yeah.
And there is like a conspiracy theory Instagram. Don't even ask me why I follow this, but they are insane. But it's called like In Case You Didn't Know, and it's missing the I from the in case.
Yeah.
So it's just In Case You Didn't Know. And I guess Instagram started deleting a lot of their posts because they would be talking about major players in the industry. Now, whether this stuff is true, there's a lot. It's very conspiracy theory heavy. So the guy started up a blog, which I think people can pay like $1 to access. So that's how he switched it off.
Oh, amazing.
I switched over. He still posts the stuff on his page.
Yeah.
He won't add and put names in. He'll start the story and then say, if you want to find out what I'm talking about. But he built up that community first. So now people want the information. They go to the blog. You can still access.
Yeah.
And you can pay to have like unlimited access to that, and it's like super cheap. So there are loads of different ways that you can.
That's a good strategy.
Get that off the ground.
I definitely don't think that's a good strategy, and I agree with you. The blog post as well. And if you're not going to have a blog, you're just going to go into Instagram. Always go on to Google Docs, create a document, and like put in some tables, number the table by the day that you post it and just copy and paste it in there so you have it somewhere.
Yeah.
So in case you do want to start a website, you can just pull it on there, like on Squarespace, you can add blog posts, but you can change the date that it was uploaded.
Oh, nice.
Even if you've uploaded it, like let's say today, you can change the date to like tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it will show to people that it was uploaded yesterday.
Nice.
And then that way, at least like people still aligns with the time frame in case like a lot of your blog posts are contextual.
Yeah. Cool. And yes, I do recommend Medium.
I like it a lot.
It's got a community that's already built in. It's a perfect place to start if you're in the industry, as Preska mentioned before. All right, next question. Hi, ladies. I don't know if you're the right people to help me with this, but I thought I'd ask as it's about social media and work. I work full-time in finance, but had an incident which spilled onto social media that was pretty sensitive and personal. Some people at work follow me and saw what happened, and I'm really embarrassed. They haven't said anything to me so far, but it's awkward. Any advice? Cheers, Dwayne. I mean, I don't know much about the situation that happened.
I wish I knew.
I wish I knew too, but I guess if it's really personal and sensitive, you don't really want to be. Let's assume
just
because
it would give this some weight.
I'm guessing it's not something that you would carry into the workplace by any means. So this is a tough one, because if they haven't said anything, and it's, I'm guessing by the time, I think we got this question like a couple weeks ago, and there's not been a follow up.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I'm going to assume that they're just kind of just moving awkwardly.
Yeah.
My instincts would say, my personal instincts would be continue to ignore it until it's less awkward.
That's what I would do.
Yeah. I'll just keep it pushing.
That's
like,
what I would do. That's what I would do.
Would you like tea, Tom?
Yeah. I'll keep it pushing, because one thing about the workplace is, one thing about life is things blow over.
Yeah.
I love the quote, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
Most things like can just disappear over time. And something like that is personal anyway. You don't want to bring it back up, and you don't want to get people's opinions.
Yeah.
Because then how the workplace can be sometimes. Somebody will then say to somebody else, sometimes somebody can say to somebody else, oh, hey, she had this conversation with me, and then it will go on, and then people bring their opinions back into it, and it might give the issue more of a timeline.
Yeah.
And you don't really want that. So I would do what Imri would do, make it less awkward to the point where you may not even have to address it. Or if you do address it, it can turn into like a Tiffany Haddish joke.
Wait, what?
She's really good at like turning serious things into jokes. So I call them like Tiffany Haddish jokes.
I care.
Watch her interviews.
I've watched a few. She is insane.
She's she's hilarious. She's hilarious in a weird way, but yeah.
Yeah, I agree with what you said. I just feel like you just keep it moving. And if it becomes like insanely uncomfortable, then you might want to address it with whoever seems to be the ringleader of that uncomfortableness. But it seems like everyone seems to be chilling.
Yeah.
And kind of like equally probably as embarrassed about the fact that they've seen whatever the hell that was. And no one's really trying to bring that up and make it like a whole issue. So, you know, just kind of act as if nothing's happened. Keep it moving as normal.
Word.
If it gets really bad, look for another job somewhere else. That's my humble advice. next question. Hi, Imri and Preska. I was listening to last week's episode with Amma, and it made me think of the one syndrome. If the one syndrome is something you both experienced, and what did you do about it? Love the show. You're both killing it. Louise.
Thank you, Louise.
Thanks, Louise.
Thank you. Honestly, thank you. That's gonna get me through. The one syndrome.
Yes.
Define that for me, Imri. What How would you define that?
Amma described it as the person that is brought in to the room to prove to be the exception to the rule. I think that's how she described it.
I remember her saying the exception to the rule.
So you're brought in to say, you know, as a representative for all of your kind, and then most people assume that you're there to tick a box, as opposed to being highly qualified, and like as if you're not coming from a fully qualified pool of talented individuals that happen to also look like yourself. So people kind of already diminish your experience, diminish your abilities before you've even walked into the room because you are from a diverse background, and you're also the only one that's there because, you know, there's like requirements by the government to have like a certain level of diversity. They're not allowed to discriminate. That's kind of the one syndrome, and that can play into people's minds more extensively when you feel like another person who looks like you comes into that space is there for your job, and you feel threatened by that person or that individual, and you feel like you have to do everything in your power to protect your spot. So you restrict opportunities, you restrict their access to information, you make their life a little bit more difficult because you're trying to fight for your one spot because you feel like there's only one spot, and not the fact that like there's already two of you in the space, so clearly there's two. So
who would make it more difficult? Would it be the person asking the question would make it more difficult, or somebody else who would come in would make it more difficult for the person?
I imagine that the person coming in would, in the mind of someone who's, let's put in an example of, okay, we're both working at, I'm not going to put a company name in it because I got in trouble for doing that once. let's say we work for a mythical company called Carmen Ultra.
Carmen Ultra.
And at Carmen Ultra, I work there as like head of marketing.
Yeah.
And you come and I don't know your job title. I just know that, you know, they're interviewing for someone in marketing. They're bringing a new person in. You get interviewed and you ultimately get offered a job. Let's say you are offered, I don't know, marketing coordinator. And you do really well. Like you're first at the job. You're kind of offering new suggestions. You're just killing the game.
And we're both of the same hue.
Yeah, we're both black women in that context.
Okay, yeah.
But then because you're doing really well, you're getting loads of praise. And then I'm head of marketing, so I have the ability, I have the benefit of being there longer. I also have the loyalty of people around me potentially. And then I kind of make your job a little bit more difficult. So you ask me questions and I don't answer, or I don't give you straight answers. I don't respond to your emails, or you come to me like woman to woman and I'm just like,
woman to woman, you come to me as a woman.
You cute, but I can't help you with that. Like, you need to figure that out by yourself. And I start treating you with a slightly more hostile thing because I out of fear, I'm scared that you're here to take my job, and I can see that you're clearly talented, and there can only be one of us here in this position. And if it's going to be one of us, it's going to be me. So that kind of mentality. So I feel threatened by the new person coming in.
But now the question.
So the question is, if it's something we've both experienced, and what did we do about it?
I did.
Did you?
Yeah. I did experience it actually at my old job. I knew I was leaving anyway, but I wasn't struggling. I just didn't care to do something. I didn't care to do something. So they brought somebody else in, but she's really good. She was really good at it, like really good. And for a second, right, I felt like, oh my God, is she in here to take my job? Even though I knew I was leaving.
Yeah.
And one thing I realized that was my ego, right? I didn't care. I was going to leave, but for some reason I still cared. And that was the ego. And that is not a positive thing nonetheless. So the moment I just acknowledged that that's the ego, I was like, I need to stop this. This is not going to benefit me. It's not going to benefit her. And what is for you will be for you. So let's say I was staying in that job. If she was going to take over my job, then it is what it is. Maybe that's what was supposed to happen. I was supposed to leave that job anyway.
Yeah.
Right. So don't let those situations kind of turn you into such a negative person. But what I then did is I was training her.
Yeah.
I was literally that situation. I just started training her. And then you just realize that like you two actually become friends.
Yeah.
And as much as I then left, you know, she I left knowing that she was like somewhat cool. We were somewhat cool in that. And that made me feel good, you know, that somebody else came in the space and she was a woman of color. She wasn't a black woman, but she was a woman of color. And I felt like, you know what, it's all good. Like there's nothing wrong with that. So I've had that situation.
Yeah.
Where I did feel like they did put her in there to kind of get me out. And a funny story, I don't think I've ever shared this with anyone, but they got me out sooner than I wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Which for me was like, whatever. I was like, I get another week off and it was Christmas or whatever. So it was all right. You know,
yeah.
What is for you will be for you. And those situations, like feeling like, you know, the one syndrome and stuff like that, they will make you act up.
Yeah.
And it will take you out of your character. And you should never, ever let somebody else or situation take you out of your character. You know,
absolutely.
You owe it to yourself to be great. You owe it to yourself to be powerful. You owe it to yourself to be strong. You owe it to yourself to be successful. And never, ever let anybody take you out of your character.
Agreed.
That's my opinion, but I mean, what's your feel on it?
I mean, I've been in both positions as the person coming in. And I, to kind of give it on a different side, because I've definitely felt it on the other, on that side as well, of being like, oh, I'm sitting quite pretty. I don't really feel like anyone else needs to be here right now because I'm killing the game. But it was lonely and it's hard.
It's
so much harder. Even like sitting in audio in where I am now, people think I have more power than I do sometimes. I have a lot of sway. I have a lot of people's ear. I have built relationships that gives me the ability to recommend or put people on in some respects, actually. And I am still somewhat selective about that. And that comes down to just the relationships that I have or have not built yet. That kind of puts me in a really tricky place because I do definitely want to support and give opportunities where I can, but I'm also really aware of how precarious my position is because I am still the only person here, not because someone else hasn't come along, but just because the nature of it is they really fully haven't allowed anyone else in. And I'm like, I'm still looking for the person that I can then come up behind me, whether that's a black man, an Asian woman, I don't care. It just needs to not be all the white men I'm facing off with. That's tough because I'm aware of like what relationships are really fruitful and which ones aren't. And so I'm always very much like, if I give this opportunity, you cannot jeopardize my position because it's like any referral situation. Like I'm not going to refer you for you to come and embarrass me now. Like I'm not going to do it. So don't ask me to put you in this position. And then the next thing you do is nonsense. Like I need to know that the person that I'm recommending or giving like an opportunity to is going to come with like a solid work ethic who I can trust will be in a position, is going to take full advantage of the situation, and not because it will just benefit me, but because it will benefit them, and not come from that place of entitlement, like you deserve to just have this because I still worked for it and there still needs to be an element of that. So I still feel like there's probably elements of me that's coming from that place of fear or just fear and reluctance. And then on the other side of that, being the person that felt like I was coming in to take someone else's job, that woman made my job a living hell. Like it was so unpleasant. I knew I was leaving as well, actually, in that situation. My end date was already set from the moment I walked through the door for that job. So it was less awkward, but I found that you're right. It did pull me out of my character, even being the one in that situation, because I became a really mean and horrible person. And I've run into that woman at least two other times in life and I will not speak to her. Like I will not do it.
Corporate can make you a horrible person.
It really can.
When I was working in corporate, I wasn't a horrible person. Actually, I didn't think I was a horrible person. But then when I came out of it, my friends were like, you were shitty when you was working.
Yeah.
You were so much of a better person coming out of it. And that's what, you know, the whole situation with corporate is what happens is they place labels on you and they place expectations on you. And what you have to do is pull yourself from that nonsense sometimes. So like on your lunches, try and move away from that and realize that you bring value, but also own your position. You know, like Ava DuVernay just did an interview and she was talking about, actually, I am a black female filmmaker. Like, you can call me that. I will own it because that is what it is. So yeah, I have come into this position because maybe I am going to be the only one and I fit a quota. But you know what? I know I have value and I'm going to show you how much value I have. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to bounce when I want to leave, you know, redefine and reconstruct the narrative so that it suits you. Own what it is, but just know, like no one really gets hired if they're not good enough, if they can't really do the job. They don't just pick up random people off the street and say, hey, we're going to hire you just because you fit this description. You have to be good. So you are good.
Yeah.
So get rid of that imposter syndrome for one and just accept that, yeah, you are a black woman doing this thing, or maybe you're a white woman or an Asian woman doing this thing,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to bring it because that's your job to bring it.
Absolutely. And I think that's everything.
Oh.
We've come to the end of listener questions. These are good questions.
Yeah, they were really good. They did actually, I think.
Y'all are really bringing it.
Yeah, I love it. As we're progressing, like the questions are getting like more intense. Last week was hot. No, last week, last month was hard.
There were some tough questions in that one.
Today was good. Like, thank you for the questions and the support and stuff. They were like complimenting us and I think that was cool.
We're doing good work. Yay us.
Yeah.
Air high five.
She's across the room, so.
Nowhere near each other. If you want to send us a question for March, when Prisca is back, please email them to wb@shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. You can also email them to Prisca as well.
PRISCA@MOYESA.CO.
Yep. Or you can tweet them to either one of us at Prisca Moyesa and at Wannabe Podcast. All of that stuff will be in the show notes. So we're going to say bye to Prisca because she's got a dash and we've kept her long enough. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure
having me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for your questions and a huge thank you to our expert, Prisca Moyesa, for sharing her knowledge with us. If you'd like to find out more about Prisca, you can follow her on Twitter and Instagram at Prisca Moyesa, that's PRISCAMOYESA. And you can find out more about her agency by visiting moyesa.co. If you would like your question to be read out next month in March's episodes with Prisca, you can submit them at wannabepodcast.com and select ask a question, or you can send them to wb@shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. This podcast is created by the Shoutout Network. To find out more about membership, visit shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. If this podcast has helped you in any way by giving you some really useful actions that you've carried forward in your life, then please do let me know about it by leaving a review on iTunes. And also, tell a friend. That is the biggest thing. I love receiving DMs and tweets and comments to say that you found the episode so useful and helpful and inspiring. So please do keep that going and keep the podcast alive by sharing with a friend. Follow Wannabe at Wannabe Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And you can get extended show notes listing all the tools and resources that we've mentioned in this episode and past episode at wannabepodcast.com. I will see you next week. Bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.